Wings of Chaos, Chapter 18, The Watchtower. Philip watched Arietta descend the stairs of the inn, her long blonde hair tied in a tight braid behind her back. She walked toward the bar through the din of late-morning conversation between travelers. Whisper sat at the bar lapping a mug of warmed milk. Arietta smiled, then reached under the bar and took out a bottle of mead and two mugs, then stood next to him at the table and poured, sliding one to him. "Mind if I sit?" she asked softly, sitting. Philip reached over and took her mug, draining it and slamming it back down on the table. Then he reached for his own and sat back with it. He took a sip and watched her carefully. Arietta sighed, folding her hands anxiously on the table.
"I hope you know, Philip, I'm not a bad person. At least, I don't mean to be."
"You're a slaver," he said dully. "You help kidnap and sell people."
"It's a life that came to me," she said under her breath, eyeing the empty mug before her, her eyes far off.
"You could get any job," he said. "At this inn, for instance, you could live a normal life."
She shook her head.
"It's not as simple as you think."
There was an awkward pause. Then Philip said,
"I didn't tell you a secret, but my friend read my mind with some weird magic and he knows everything."
Arietta straightened, looking around with a worried expression.
"Where are your friends?"
"They took Zelina with them to the watchtower, to save the prisoners taken by those slaver friends of yours."
His face was emotionless in response to hers.
"My sister?"
She tightened her hand around the empty mug.
"They won't hurt her, will they?"
"I believe Reverence has her best interests in mind."
Philip drained the rest of his mead and reached for the bottle, pouring himself a half glass.
"They should be careful around Zelina," Arietta said seriously. "She's not what she seems to be."
"What do you mean?"
Philip perked up curiously, then added,
"She's not your sister, is she?"
Arietta shook her head.
"Who? What is she?"
Arietta shook her head again.
"That's all I'll say on it."
"If this is going to work," Philip told her, leaning in, "then you need to be honest with me. No secrets."
She looked around the busy room nervously, then took the bottle of mead, which was nearly empty, and took a swig. Just then, a black shadow of a raven swooped in through a cracked window and landed in a swirl of magical mist, cawing and hopping on the table next to Philip. Arietta jumped and nearly smashed the bottle on the ground. Philip reached out a hand as the raven proffered its leg, where a roll of parchment had been tied. He took it, and the raven cawed again, then dispersed like a cloud being pushed apart by a strong wind.
"What was that?"
Arietta asked in shock, a hand on her breast. Philip unrolled the parchment, and a second piece fell to the table. Arietta flattened it. It was a map of the area, with a section of forest circled, several miles from the Grinning Gnome Inn. The note was written and signed by Ozarin.
"Looks like we don't have time for another drink," Philip said, standing and taking the two papers,
then crossing to the bar to put a hand on Whisper's shoulder. The tabaxi jumped and Arietta trailed after him, looking concerned.
"Whisper, we need to go. Arietta?"
He turned back to her.
"You need to stay here. We have to go help our friends."
"Don't let Zelina fight," she said quickly.
"Fight," Whisper repeated, standing and leaving his milk on the bar. He conjured a small flame in the center of his palm, looking excited.
"Fight? Why?"
Philip asked suspiciously.
"Just don't. She can't control it."
Philip thought for a moment, then grabbed her arm and pulled them both out the door.
"Then you better come with us. Let's go."
Once they were outside, Philip transformed into a large replica of the golden stag they'd seen on the road. Arietta nodded tensely and grabbed his neck, pulling herself onto his back. Whisper trotted off and returned a few moments later with his donkey. If Philip wasn't a stag, he would have suggested a horse was much faster, like perhaps the one they'd used to pull their wagon. Instead, he shook his antlered head and felt Arietta wrap her arms around him tightly as they set off at a steady gait, the wizard tabaxi following shakily behind him on his trotting donkey. Shael, Keelan, Ozarin, and Reverence took the time waiting for Whisper and Philip to scout around the watchtower in search of entrances. They finally decided the best way to get the prisoners out would be to climb the tower and pull apart the rotting shingles on top, then lower them down on ropes while the rest fought whatever abominations resided within. If they could distract them long enough, they could get the prisoners to safety. Perhaps, finally, one of their plans would be successful.
Shale set up her crossbow trap at the front door in case anything tried to break free. Keelan impatiently paced as they waited for their companions. Shale spent the time checking old footprints through the forest, but the foot traffic was sparse. Osrin used his eldritch sight to scan the perimeter for magical traps, and Reverence tried to comfort Selena, who looked bored but surprisingly uninterested in the whole thing. Shale didn't trust her in particular. Finally, a golden stag burst through the trees and Arietta dropped from its back. Philip transformed back to his half-elf form and greeted them, and a few minutes later, Whisper appeared atop his sweat-lathered donkey. Osrin and Shale relayed their plan, and they agreed to it. Whisper dismounted and put a paw on Keelan, causing his plate armor to glow brightly. Philip pulled Arietta aside and whispered to her, and the woman reached out for Zelina and pulled her into the forest to hide. Shale checked her arrow trap for a second time, then went to the door and inspected it for traps as Whisper began climbing the side of the tower.
Anything? Keelan asked impatiently.
It's hard to tell, Shale said slowly, sliding her fingers along the edges of the door. I'm not an expert with these sorts of things, but Osrin said he didn't sense anything on the door.
Good enough for me, Keelan said, pushing Shale aside and kicking the door open roughly.
There was a loud bang, then a sucking, whispering sound that consumed the warmth in the air, as clawing black shadowy hands began grasping and reaching through the door. Keelan swore, jumping back and drawing his sword as he tried to step out of the grasp.
You said it wasn't trapped.
The hands began grasping his legs and climbing up him as he tried to swing, but his blade sliced through mist. Shale turned to trigger frantically. Grab the paladin, she shouted, drawing out her bow and looking at Osrin, who was staring into the tower with a tilted head, as if seeing something within. To her, there was only darkness. Keelan began casting a spell over himself, his armor still glowing from Whisper's enchantment, as the hands continued to wrap around him. The whispers were all around them, seeming to come from no direct point. Shale released an arrow and it skittered across the stone. How do you fight a shadow? She thought desperately. Trigger sunk his teeth into Keelan's thick leather boot and began pulling him out of the shadows.
Try to lure them out, Philip shouted as two bears formed around him and flanked Keelan and Trigger protectively.
Osrin shot a black cloud forward and it swirled inside the watchtower. Over what, Shale couldn't see. Then she heard the labored moans and shuffling as rotting corpses staggered to the door and passed through the grasping hands harmlessly, raised dead. Shale thought, shooting another arrow and catching one of them in the shoulder. It paused for a moment, then turned its white, dead gaze on her. She'd sensed the undead while they traveled to the tower, but unfortunately there were many kinds and she couldn't discern what they were until they were right in front of her. She felt her sanity quiver as memories threatened to push their way to the forefront of her mind. Osrin was so focused on his spell within the tower that he noticed the walking corpses with startled realization once they had perked up, seeming to lose their lethargy as they neared their targets. The warlock stumbled back, and the shadowy whispers of hands continued to expand and reach out as they all backed away. Shale's arrow trap shot four consecutive arrows as the undead shambled forward, sticking into three and barely slowing them. Pieces of shingles from the roof of the tower came scattering down as Whisper dug through it to get to the prisoners. Shale hoped he could get them out quickly. Reverence danced around the clinging shadow hands and shot air fists at the walking corpses, pushing them back momentarily. Shale shot arrow after arrow into the bodies, and Keelan took out his crossbow and followed suit until they were littered with shafts. Trigger began pulling at Osrin to draw him out of the shadows, and the warlock shot blasts of green light into the corpses, but still seemed distracted by something within the tower. Whatever he'd cast the black spear over, he was waiting for it to escape. One corpse exploded and flew back, leaving only a leg behind as Reverence hit it with a compressed burst of air. Then he pulled out his spear and flipped it, smashing it into a corpse as it stepped out of the protection of the ever-growing shadows, and sent its arm flying, then pierced it through the eye with the point of his tail. Philip's bears clawed at the shadows, but they didn't dare enter them, and the druid shot stones from his slings, which bounced off the corpses. A figure broke out of Osrin's spell and came lunging forward, pushing through the moving corpses. It was fleshless, with gray skin pulled tight over its skeletal, humanoid form. It wore a tattered hood and spoke in a strange, hushed language. This was the leader, the one controlling the bodies of the dead. Shale redirected her arrows at it, casting her hunter's mark over its form and shedding it in a blue-lit symbol only she could see. Osrin backed up and began blasting the leader with eldritch spells, ignoring the corpses.
Whisper! Philip shouted up as more shingles fell over the edge. Blow these fucking zombies out of here!
The tabaxi peeked over, noticing, it seemed, for the first time, the corpses and the crawling shadows. He raised a paw over the edge and a tiny swizzle of light zipped down, and exploded in a massive burst of heat. Pieces of the corpses flew in every direction, and one of Philip's bears disappeared from impact. Shale nearly lost her footing and covered her eyes from the fire. When she looked up, Ozarin was laying on the ground, unconscious. One of the corpses remained, its arms missing. The leader hissed and retreated into the tower, seeing its defenses worn. Philip raised his sling and shot the final corpse through the head, felling it. The shadowed hands were all that remained of the defenses now. They grasped onto Ozarin and started to pull him toward the door, while others overtook Philip's second bear. The animal roared as it was overwhelmed by the whispering shadows, then burst into light and disappeared. Keelan quickly ran to Ozarin's body and dragged him away from the shadows, slamming a heavy hand over his chest and healing him. Ozarin gasped as the burn marks over his face and arms healed over, and he kicked his legs free with Keelan's help. Shale ran past them and aimed her arrow at the leader as it shrank into darkness. She breathed, and the moment slowed as the creature's pale yellow eyes stared at her. She felt cold. She released her breath, and the arrow shot true. It slammed into the creature's forehead. It wailed, and with a sickening thump, it collapsed to the stone floor, permanently dead. Or so she hoped. Ozarin got to his feet and shouted, "Dispel!" A bright light flew from his fingertips and slammed into the shadows, creating a dome over them and pushing them back. The whispering hands retreated into the tower, sliding and crawling, until the darkness was sucked back into a point in the center of the room. They all ran into the room and saw a stone circle with carved runes. As the last lick of darkness seeped into it, the lights of the runes faded. Ozarin went to check on the body of the leader while Philip headed to the tree line to find the twins. Keelan made for a ladder in the corner of the room, which led up to a trapdoor. He climbed cautiously with his heavy armor, testing his weight on each rung, then slammed an elbow repeatedly into the wood until it cracked. The bottom floor of the watchtower was circular, and across from the doorway sat a stone box flanked by two stone statues. Shale felt drawn to them, and walked to the one on the left, gazing up at the hooded figure. There was something familiar about the carving. She looked down at its base and could see a dirt-covered marking. She brushed it with a hand, revealing a symbol she'd seen before, carved on the base of a tree, and as the brand she used to mark her quarry. It was a bear's paw with a star in the middle of it. Gwerin, she thought, looking back up at the statue, with its familiar smooth features. She glanced over at the other statue, a cloaked woman with one hand reaching back to draw an arrow from its stone quiver. "This place was made for rangers at one time," Shale said, her voice echoing. "Do you know who that is?" Ozarin asked. She turned and saw the warlock was the only other person with her. The rest had gone to free the prisoners or gone outside without her noticing. She nodded. "How do you know them?" Shale reached a hand up and pulled a scarf off her head, letting her lavender dreadlocks tumble around her shoulders. "They saved my life when I was young," she said. "I ran away and they taught me how to survive alone in the forest. They taught me to fight and to shoot a bow and to track. They're, well, a deity made to protect rangers." She remembered the lavenders on the graves. "Open it," Ozarin said, pointing his chin toward the stone box. "Perhaps it's meant for you." Shale looked at it, then strode over, and with a heavy push threw off the stone slab, revealing its contents. She took out a bag, which contained a handful of gems, then a tube, which, when she opened it, contained a fragile piece of parchment. She handed it to Ozarin, who quietly took it and raised one hand above it. "It's a scroll of magic to do with transmutation," he told her finally, handing it back to her. Shale shrugged and walked to the ladder, ascending it. She had no need of scrolls. When she reached the top, she saw that Keelan had healed all four prisoners, and they were standing around thanking him in Whisper. "Whisper," Shale called, and the tabaxi walked over to her. She handed him the scroll. "I'm not sure what it does." The tabaxi stared at it excitedly, then nodded and put it in his satchel. They helped the prisoners down the ladder one by one, all of them still weak from being fed small rations. There was a man and a woman who were holding each other. They shyly introduced themselves as farmers from the area. The small male gnome looked disheveled and tired. He didn't give them a name, but simply bowed and thanked them. Finally, the harper stepped up, pulling on a tattered robe over his bare chest. "To whom do we owe our thanks?" "What?" Philip asked, entering the circular room with reverence, Arietta and Zelina. "You mean like a team name? We don't have one."
"Though it's not a bad idea," Reverence said thoughtfully.
The harper looked confused. "What's your name?" Ozarin asked, ignoring the other two. The Harper smiled weakly.
My name is Carlin.
Carlin? Shale said quickly. The name was familiar.
You know Akin?
Philip asked in surprise, reminding Shale of the man who sold them their wagon and helped them join the caravan. Carlin also looked surprised.
Yes, I do. In Baldur's Gate?
Reverence drew out something from his cloak, and Shale saw a flash of the Harper's carved symbol.
Our interests align, it seems.
Carlin pulled the robe tighter to his chest, and his gaze focused on the tiefling.
It seems they do. How will you take in? Osirin asked.
The Harper sighed and rubbed his neck as if it pained him.
I was left for dead on the road by the caravan I traveled with. They suspected me of spying on them, which, for their sake, I was. I was tracking members of the Dragon Cult.
Let's get these people back to the Grinning Gnome, Shale suggested. And Keelan nodded and hurried off to get his horse, Whisper following behind for his donkey.
We should discuss these things in private,
Osirin agreed. Shale helped the couple out of the door and then turned to the gnome, leaving the Harper with the others.
What's your name?
She asked.
Ah,
the gnome smiled mischievously, despite his tired disposition.
Trickster never reveals his secrets.
He had messy brown hair and a passable goatee, and his cloak was reminiscent of richer days. Shale nodded.
Fair enough, but how did you get captured by the slavers?
Well, he shrugged, then his eyes flashed up at her slyly. Let's just say I was putting my hands in the wrong pockets, and I happened to find a very valuable yellow diamond.
Understood, she said seriously. You didn't happen to find one around here, did you?
She shook her head. The young gnome reached up a hand and patted her on the arm. You know, from one crazy person to another, it doesn't hurt to smile. You should really consider it. With that, he trotted off to Keelan, who helped him onto Ember's saddle. Shale shook her head, feeling confused, then smiled slightly, calling for Trigger. The fox bounded out of the long grass that had overgrown the side of the watchtower and nuzzled his face into her leg. Osirin walked over to Shale and handed something to her. She looked down curiously at a yellow diamond the size of her palm.
What is it?
She asked, thinking of the gnome and keeping it from his view.
I found it on the white, he nodded to the doors. The one controlling all the corpses. If you crush it, it will conjure an earth elemental. Why are you giving it to me?
She didn't even bother asking how one could possibly crush a diamond. Osirin looked at her for a moment, then said,
I think it will serve you best.
Shale nodded and tucked the diamond away, reminding herself to keep it far from the little gnome with the wandering fingers. Philip transformed into a shaggy-maned palomino, and Arietta and Selena both pulled themselves up onto his back. As Keelan led them back through the trees, Shale paused behind the rest. There was a pale figure standing amongst the trees, cloaked in a dark green robe with the hood up. It raised a gentle hand when she looked at it, and she dipped her head. In her mind, she heard a soft, familiar voice say,
Well done.
Whisper paused and looked at the figure, then raised his paw and waved at it just as the pale figure faded and was gone. The tabaxi looked back at Shale curiously, but said nothing. Listening to Wings of Chaos, written by Alexis Fienendahl and based on the Horde of the Dragon Queen D&D campaign. For more stories by me, visit my blog, linked in the show notes. Thanks so much for listening.